You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Huh?
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Nuts are locked up.
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Don't get me started. But you know what? Get me started.
That was...
What was I thinking?
That was so pro-Don.
I absolutely loved that. I thought, Don, that was... It was you at your finest.
That's what you have to do on a talk show, is get started.
Right.
Especially at the start.
But you just said the generic line that we often say of don't get me started. But, like, yeah, the whole point of the show is to get started.
That's right.
Let's say good evening to Don again.
I'm sick and tired of sports.
That's not a good thing to say.
That's for the record, I understand how you feel, Don. And let's say good evening to the play-by-play guys at that college. Oh, no, it was the Cleveland Browns, wasn't it? I think that's my friend Nate Segura of ESPN. Wow. And good evening to Ian Eagle.
What is happening here?
I love him.
Very, very good stuff. Now, we're going to get back to the football of it all. But let's start with the baseball of it all. Yesterday, not a great outing from Chris Bassitt. 3 2/3, 5 hits, 5 earned runs. Not what you want. Mets lose 5-2 to the Cubs. Let's hear from Chris Bassitt on his rough start.
Just a start. I mean, that's it. Wasn't locating. I mean, not trying to make this a bigger deal than what it is. I mean, a bad start. Obviously, this entire game's on me. It's unfortunate. I just work my butt off and go to the next one.
Love this guy. What he went through last year. Great pickup by the Mets. He's a big reason they're in first place. Love him.
They're going to need him. Walker has not been great. If everything lines up, Michael, he's your Game 3 starter.
Yep. Currently, I feel comfortable with it.
Currently, 3.44 ERA for Bassitt. He's 13-8. WHIP of 1.15. 155 strikeouts. Yeah, he's been a nice piece for them. And you would imagine, Don, yeah, he's in that 3 spot.
That's it.
You should not hound Bassitt. He's that good.
Wow, that was really horrible.
Oh, man.
You should not hound Bassitt. Wow.
Roll that around.
Now,
they don't give these jobs to chimps.
No, they don't.
No, well, no. Maybe they should have there.
You're not an NFL head coach, for God's sake. Let's hear from our friend Mike Tannenbaum. He was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And he talked about Robert Saleh's comments on our show yesterday and the keeping of receipts. Let's hear Tannenbaum.
For a guy that says to ignore the noise, he's listening to every bit of it. I would sit him down and say, don't read anything. Don't listen to anything. What you need to worry about, the Baltimore Ravens came into that stadium without their left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, their best running back, J.K. Dobbins, without a really good corner, Marcus Peters. They made no excuses and won the game. And if Coach Parcells was coaching a Robert Saleh right now, he would say one thing to him. No one cares. Just go win football games. And you haven't done enough of it. And as a leader, that was not what he needed to do. When you're a leader, you take all the blame and you deflect the praise and put it on your shoulders and convince those men in the room when they come in on Wednesday morning that we have a real chance to win the next week.
See, I think Tannenbaum's playing checkers and Saleh's playing chess because he's trying to motivate his team with this stuff. That's what he's doing. Everybody's against us. Nobody believes in us. Let's go. Let's prove them wrong.
I know, but it's, again, he's got every right to do it, and it's not the end of the world by any stretch, but it does amp things up from a pressure standpoint. You know, isn't it kind of early for this? Don't you sense some panic in him that after a loss to the Baltimore Ravens that this is what you're doing to get your team pumped up? And, by the way, your starting quarterback's still not going to be back for the next couple of weeks.
Well, here's a question I'll ask you, Don. How big is the difference between panic and the much better-sounding sense of urgency? Because don't you want him to have a sense of urgency?
No, but, yeah, of course there's always should be a sense of urgency just based on the fact that he's 4-15 as a head coach in the National Football, 4-14 as a coach
in the
NFL.
Well, and his fan base doesn't deserve to wait around forever.
Right, but now he's kind of, if you want to say he's put a target on himself and all that, but now it's, all right, that receipts thing is now going to become a thing. And usually you do these things when you got a very winnable game on your schedule where you could say, hey, it's worked. They could work their tail off against Cleveland and still lose that game. So how's that going to age, those comments? What do you think the back page of the Post is going to be Monday if they lose to Cleveland? It'll be some other facsimile of him holding up receipts. Or, where are your receipts now? You know,
if they end up 2-15, the last home game they will be throwing CVS receipts.
Yeah.
And it'll look like New Year's Eve.
And he's created
or ticker tape parade.
He's created something because what he did was he threw out a guarantee. We're going to turn it around. All right, well, do you really want to put that pressure on yourself when you're at Cleveland, home against Cincinnati, before you even get your starting quarterback back? That's
it. Yeah, maybe he does.
All right, well, it's adding another layer of pressure. Now, listen, it works the other way too, right? They go to Cleveland and win the game, then there's going to be a lot of praise thrown at him. But ultimately, it's not about 1 week or 2 weeks. It's what happens at the end of the season.
And remember, everybody, you can hear Robert Saleh here exclusively every Monday.
Right.
Right around 3:30 to 4, right in that general vicinity. We'll see what he has to say.
Ray Rowe.
I'll tell you who has to be thrilled with it. It is us.
Oh, yeah. He's a must-listen now.
I wasn't exactly counting down to our conversation with him on Monday. And he brought it.
So you now have lapsed into Don's club, guests are whack.
Not guests are whack. I'm into the coaches are whack.
You know, we have Dan Orlovsky tomorrow, and he's going to preen and brag about telling you the Giants are going to win.
Well, that he deserves to. We're going to get to Dan Orlovsky actually in a second. He said something interesting about the Giants today. But let's hear from Bart Scott on Bart and Hahn earlier, his reaction to Saleh's comments.
What he's saying is y'all miserable about everything around here. Miserable because your rent's too high. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do with the damn 10 years. I got here to do what I got to do now, and I'm building towards that. And if you don't see it, I don't give a damn. Because guess what? At the end of the day, you can cut me, fire me, whatever you want. I'm going to get my check. And I'm not concerned with your opinions because they don't matter to me. Because guess what? You know,
if
you know
my opinions don't matter, then why the hell are you addressing them? Why are you keeping receipts? Why keep receipts if my opinion doesn't matter?
Because I'm letting you know. And he wasn't talking to the fans. When he said I'm keeping receipts, he's talking about the Rich Samini's of the world that never had nothing positive to say, that's always lightweight hating, and then you want to come in and get an exclusive. Excuse me, can I talk to Quentin Williams today? No! Excuse me, when we start balling out, can I talk to Zach Wilson so I can try and sell something to Clout Chase and make some money on my radio station or make some money in my paper? No! When I say receipts, that's the receipts I'm talking about. When you want to blatantly hate, don't come back. That's what I mean. Keep that same energy when we start balling and you need us because you can't have it both ways. It's one thing to be critical. It's one thing to be a natural-born hater and try and make me the butt of your jokes.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
In one part he made sense at the beginning.
And then he lost me.
I mean, Rich Samini is just reporting what's happening. They stink. They've stunk for 30 years. Of course Rich Samini doesn't have much to write about. So you can't expect him to be a pom-pom waver. I'm sorry.
And this isn't Bart Scott, the former player, now executive at Apple. He's in the media. Right, and his job is to give opinions. So, like, every time somebody criticizes a 4-14 coach, they're hating on Robert Saleh. They're reporting on the facts. The team stunk last year. It's off to a rough start this year. You know, and I think he used Samini as just somebody that he remembers from when he played. So I don't know if he's specifically talking about Rich. But for the sake of argument, he threw Rich out there. Rich is doing his job. You think Rich is hating for the sake of hating, or is he just reporting on what he sees? Whether the team goes to the Super Bowl or goes 0-17, he's going to keep showing up. That's why I don't think it was about the media, Michael.
The media jumped ship.
They still have a job to do. They still got to cover the team.
I think it was just as much about the fans always being negative.
And saying he doesn't care, Robert Saleh sounded like a guy that really cared. You don't keep receipts if you don't care.
People are saying that Bart explained on the show that he does have a thing with Samini specifically.
Well, what is it?
I can't tell you that. I did not listen to the program today.
So he's okay with Brian Costello, but not with Samini.
Don't know if he specifically talked about Costello.
But I don't know his personal relationship with Rich. I've known Rich for over 20 years.
Salt of the earth.
You know, whether it's the Daily News, whether it's ESPN, Peter's job is to cover this team.
Yeah, and he's asking for interviews with Zach Wilson no matter how the team's playing.
And it's not he's not asking for an interview with Zach Wilson to get hits. His boss is telling him, I want a profile on Zach Wilson, or I've got to talk to the quarterback of the team. Like, so they make it seem like we in the media are just like we're shopping. Like, oh, I'm going to go shop at the Jets today, and I'm going to go and want to talk to the coach and the wide receiver. We're doing our jobs. When I covered a team, and I covered the Giants in 99, I covered the Jets in 2000, and eventually became the pre and post guy. I went there because it was my job, and I interviewed the players that were important to interview, whether it was a win or a loss. I didn't have the choice, Peter, of, oh, the Jets lost, so I'm just not going to go today. I got a job to do. I got to go. And if that means going to the Super Bowl or my job ending after week 18, I'm just doing my job. Well, is this college where it's supposed to wave pom-poms and come in with a Jet jersey and cover the team? Well, that's not the way it works.
That's what I think all the time, though. A lot of guys get that, the people who are there every day, the beat reporters. It's like because they're reporting on a team being bad, the players internalize as it being hate. And then when the team's playing well and what's being written about them is positive, they internalize that is now they're jumping on the bandwagon. Could it be that they're just writing about the facts?
Peter,
when you're bad, articles feel a lot better than when you're good. This isn't rocket science.
Peter, I'm living it. If I say that Josh Donaldson, I shouldn't say Josh, any player, is 0 for 32, they don't like that. I'm not opining that he's 0 for 32. I'm saying he has no hits and has like 32 at-bats. Believe me, it gets up to me that they didn't like it. They don't like that.
So
they
want,
they think
it.
That if you're a team broadcaster, you should be a pom-pom waiver. And yeah, they think the same thing about newspaper writers.
But think about how weak that would be, Michael. Like, if we did what Bart Scott and what Saleh's suggesting, like, you're either in or out. If you're not with us, you're against us. You know, get off the bandwagon. But Rich Samini rips the team. And guess where Rich Samini is the next day or right after the game? In the locker room, talking to the players that he ripped. That's doing your job. That's manning up in the situation, isn't it? Rather than ripping them from afar, never walking in the room. Like, so there are plenty of columnists, Michael, that do that. They'll never walk in a room and rip you.
And radio talk shows.
Right, and that's not right either. But for the beat people, for the Rich Saminis of the world, he's a guy that might have an unflattering thing to say about the coach. Guess where he's going to be the next time the coach speaks?
Right.
Sitting right there at the podium asking him questions, doing his job. And if Rich didn't do that, he wouldn't be doing his job. And wouldn't that be weaker, Peter, if he ripped him from afar and didn't show up after ripping into him and only showing up after wins and only showing up when you're praising him?
I've had players when a team is not playing well, right? And I pretty much say what the team is doing wrong or whatever, and, you know, they've gotten one win in the last 15 games. Said players will go to an organization and go, why is he on the team playing if he's not with us?
But you know what? But honestly, Michael, that kind of makes more sense than ripping the beat guys. Like, I don't agree with that, but I can understand a player going, well, he's calling our games. He's on the plane with us. Why is he ripping into us?
But even if people don't like to hear the truth if it's not good. I don't rip into anybody.
I know.
It's facts.
But
he's two for his last 72. They don't want to hear that.
But you see what I'm saying, Peter, that if, like, you can understand a player saying, well, geez, he's talking about us and, you know, I thought he works for us. I thought he was one of us. I thought he was on our team, not understanding the situation. But do you really think somebody that works for the Daily News or ESPN or the New York Post is on the Jets or the Giants, or are they just doing their job?
Rich Samini has probably covered more putrid teams than anybody in the history of newspapers in the city. If you consider how many times the Jets have been bad.
And let me ask you, Michael, do you think he wants to cover a team that's 4-13 or a team that's going to the Super Bowl?
So much more fun to cover a team that's doing well. People are happier. Now, they're more accessible. They give better quotes. People are angry when they lose.
Now, I don't think he's rooting either way. He's just trying to tell you what he sees. But, my God, at least with the Yankees, Michael, if they're complaining about getting ripped, well, they're an outstanding team. What exactly, over the last 12 years, has Rich Samini had positive to report about this team? They haven't made the playoffs in 12 years. They've had only one winning record in 12 years. Three different general managers, four different head coaches. So what yarn should he be spinning positive here?
There's not a lot of there's not enough yarn.
And I'm just surprised by Bart, because now his job is to give opinions. So is Bart not giving his opinion then? I want unfiltered opinion. And then there's accountability afterward. Like, we have opinions. If we're right, Peter, we come on. 3 o'clock the next day, I'm going to be on the air.
Let's speaking of unfiltered opinions.
Garbage.
Let's hear Dan Orlovsky talking Saquon and his performance on that game-winning two-point conversion.
RC, my dog, let me ask you this. When you're drafted number two in the draft, why are you drafted number two overall like Saquon Barkley was?
Go beyond the X's and O's.
You got to go be special. You got to go make a special play. Greeny, the Tennessee Titans won this rep.
Yeah.
They should win this football game because their defense. This is the first time in a long time that New York Giants fans get to watch their player go be special and make a play above the X's and O's. Credit Brian Daboll with the seed planting and getting that easy touchdown throw for Daniel Jones. But Saquon Barkley was drafted number two to go be special and do something that the coaches can't. He finally did it, and they get a win on the road.
So his dog spoke English?
RC?
Yeah.
Yeah, RC is his dog.
Oh, you like Ryan Clark.
You're not joking.
I thought he meant DOG, so you're seeing DAWG. Got it.
Don, was he joking there? I think he was serious.
No, I was serious. I thought he was home, and he was holding his dog up. I didn't know he called Ryan Clark his dog.
Should he? Probably not. Did he? Absolutely he did.
Well, now I'm educated.
It was awkward. I'm
illuminated.
Uncomfortable, but he did it.
Wait, what, calling him my dog?
Yeah, just it was weird. But to think that he was holding a dog.
I would do that with Butter.
My dog, Butter. Right. Well, that would be true, too. Butter is, in fact, your dog. So back to the Seattle-Denver game.
Is Bear leaning anyway on a pick this week? Because he started off red hot.
Well, he's killing Mr. Bruni, let's be honest.
That was...
Bear's got Bruni's number right now, so...
But he's not killing Bruni. He's killing Bruni.
No, he's tied with Bruni. We'll see what Bear brings to the table this week.
Killing his master.
Here's what... Well... Yeah. Percentage-wise, he's beating him.
So his dog spoke English?
So here's what it sounded like when Russell Wilson first ran on the field last night in Seattle. Let's go.
There really is something about Seattle. It must be all the coffee shops, because they are the loudest city in the world. The games at the Kingdome in 95, I still have ear problems because of that. They are loud.
It was that crazy, huh?
Mariano Rivera once told me the loudest and meanest people are the Seattle fans when you warm up in the bullpen.
I thought the Blue Jays fans.
No, that could be the extra alcohol in the beer. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a reason for everything, because every block there's some kind of coffee shop in Seattle.
How is that any different than anywhere else?
No, it's more in Seattle. It's more concentrated. And I think that's where Starbucks started.
Started here. I mean, I could throw a rock and hit two Starbucks, literally.
But you're not a Starbucks guy. You're a Dunkin' guy.
Well, I'm a Dunkin' guy, but I'm a proximity guy as well. And there's a tremendous Starbucks right down in the lobby that I will go down and get it during a commercial break.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I've never understood either?
What's that?
Go ahead.
why people sit there in the, with their computer in a Starbucks. Why? Do you not like being lonely at home?
It's the genius marketing of Starbucks.
Because if I owned a Starbucks, I'd say, out. Buy something or get out.
No, no.
Don't write a book here, okay? If you're going to sit here for an hour, then I want six, seven cups of coffee.
This is foolhardy. The reason you're not a businessman, you're not understanding what they've done, okay? Starbucks, let's be real, guys. It's McDonald's. It is Roy Rogers. It is Arby's. It is a straight-up fast food restaurant. Yet, it is completely acceptable to plan a business meeting at a Starbucks. Hey, can you meet me for a chat? Yeah, just let's stop by the Starbucks and blah, blah. Don, can you ask someone to meet you at McDonald's for a business chat?
Sure you could.
No, but you don't.
You could, but you don't.
You don't. You never would. And Starbucks is a completely normal place to meet someone for a serious conversation. They've cultivated that. And now people go there who might not normally be going there.
Right.
But here's my question. Forget about like meeting somebody. You see people with a laptop sit there for hours. Don't you have a home?
That's a good point. You're loitering at this point, right? I mean, come on, go home. Get your coffee.
Buying coffee, I'm wasting money.
Go to work or whatever. Go to the park. And now they got the Wi-Fi. I guess the idea is that after you finish that coffee, you'll get another one.
Sure.
Or I'll get the coffee and leave, but if I'm going to stay, I'll get the Danish. Maybe I'll buy the banana for later. You know, so whatever they're doing, it's working.
The Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
So you know? The overpriced deli meats with cheddar cheese and two crackers.
Yeah, obviously they're doing it for a reason. And it doesn't interfere. It's not like they're online. They're not bothering you.
But honestly, I want everyone out there listening to us right now to think about it. Think about how your brain processes seeing a Starbucks versus how your brain processes seeing every other fast food restaurant. To me, Don, I don't know how you feel. My brain takes it in a completely different way. I do not see Subway, Wendy's, McDonald's when I see Starbucks. It's very strange. It's brilliant. So back to Seattle. DK Metcalf was asked by a fan to autograph a sign that said, "Let's cook Russ." And here's what happened.
What's up, bro? We sign this sign?
Yeah. Cook Russ.
Let's cook Russ.
There's Lockett right there.
I can't sign it, man.
Hey, it's Lockett right there.
I can't sign it, man.
I respect it.
Yes, I respect it, too.
That's your teammate. You don't need to sign up something that's personally an attack on him. Now.
Because the players understand something the fans don't, Peter, and that it's all business.
Right.
But the fans take it personal. Hey, you used to be a Seahawk. Now you could have retired a Seahawk, and now you're going to go try to win a Super Bowl in Denver. But the players
get it. The part I can't get passed on, and I've gotten a lot of people disagreeing with me on Twitter because I tweeted about it, and people are saying, no, what are you talking about? They're supposed to boo him. He's the enemy now. I get it. When the game starts, you boo him. Don, this is a guy who, no matter how awkward he may have been, literally ended every presser with "Go Hawks." Like, he did everything you wanted him to do.
Right.
He really did. So to welcome him back with just a few cheers before you boo him, to me, was the move.
Why no video tribute? Like, why is the organization being that way? Why are they being petty? All right, the fans, they're fanatics. But the organization couldn't give him a tribute video?
You know what we should get? We should get Mina Kimes tomorrow and ask her about that.
Now, football's not like the other sports. There's something different about a game of football. Like, do you think basketball, hockey, and baseball kind of lends to the tribute video? Like, football, everything is so much different in hype. But I would just think the game's on Monday night. You could have had ESPN play it on television as well. The whole reason that game is on Monday Night Football, Peter, is because Russell Wilson's going back to Seattle. And the organization doesn't acknowledge him. Pete Carroll saying, "I'm going to leave it up to the fans," instead of saying something really nice about Russ and saying they should cheer him. He won a Super Bowl championship for us. So there might be a little bit more animosity within the organization that the fans are feeding off of that maybe we don't realize because we're not there.
Now, the one thing that people were talking about more than Russell Wilson last night was the decision by Nathaniel Hackett to kick a 64-yard field goal instead of having Russell Wilson go for it on 4th-and-5. Here's Hackett today.
You know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were third and 15, I think, third and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it to lose yards. To be able to, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards. But he dumps it out to Javonte. Javonte makes a move, goes a lot farther than I think we had anticipated. We were expecting to go for it on fourth down. And then you hit the mark.
I love what he did. I completely disagree.
Wow, look at you.
You're asking players to be accountable. How does that hurt your leadership when you hold yourself accountable? Now you can go into that room and look at those players and say, now I want you to hold yourself accountable when you make a mistake, because I'll do it. I'm never going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. Isn't that true leadership than some pompous, arrogant, we're moving on to Cincinnati, or being, I'd do it again? Come on, that's arrogance, that's false bravado. He's a human being, made a mistake, owned it. Tell me that everybody in that room doesn't appreciate that. Come on.
I hear you. Let's hear from the aforementioned RC, Ryan Clark.
So his dog spoke English?
Yeah. Let's hear from Ryan Clark talking about Hackett being wrong to not give Russell Wilson a chance.
I'm not paying $256 million to kick a 64-yard field goal on fourth and five with a minute left. You go out and you get Russell Wilson for the first reason, because eventually you expect to win a championship. Mm-hmm. But you get him for those moments. You get him to be in Seattle, where you just got him from, with an opportunity on fourth down to show you why he believes he's one of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you have to give Russell Wilson that chance. Imagine walking back into the locker room in Seattle after Russell Wilson has gotten you fourth and five, then put you in field goal position to win a game when you don't play well. Right. I think that was the moment where guys needed to be able to walk into the locker room and say, oh, we got one. Mm-hmm. It's no more Teddy. It's no more Drew. We have a guy that can take us to the promised land. And Nathaniel Hackett stole that moment for him.
It was an interesting choice. Very interesting choice. 64-yard field goal. I mean, Don, how long have you been watching football? More than 40 years, right?
40.
How many, in those 40 years, how many field goals beyond 60 yards have you seen?
Well, think about it, all right? What is it, like Jason Elam? Big leg, Denver,
yep.
High altitude.
Thin air.
The Dempsey kick, which was forever the longest field goal.
Mm-hmm. 63?
Yeah, not to be insensitive, it's fact. He had a club foot. Which I always wondered, like, did nobody question that, like, maybe that led to him kicking a 63-yard field goal? Because he had half a foot, so he had, like, a prosthetic or something that might have made the ball go farther. I don't know. But the point is, it's usually very unusual circumstances. Like I said, if that's Justin Tucker and they're in Denver, I might think it's a reasonable shot. He's the best kicker in the game, big leg, high altitude. A kicker that was like, what, 1-8 in field goals, 60 or more, in Seattle. He had the leg, but just it was wide. And I got Russell Wilson, a Hall of Famer. Fourth and five. Oof. I don't know.
Yeah, and the thing is, you drop Russell Wilson in shotgun, let him take a look. Now, listen, maybe he just didn't have confidence in his offensive line, but,
no,
man, Russell Wilson's the definition of I'd assume I'm going to see him pick up the first down on fourth and five.
And that still doesn't explain why, like, 30 seconds ebbed away. Like, right. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson's my best chance to convert a fourth and five. And remember, those numbers, the 30% to try the field goal, the 29% to win going for it on fourth and five, were based on 20 seconds remaining. Because even if they convert the fourth and five, it's still like a 58, 57-yard field goal if they just get the first down. So that's why the odds aren't. But if he called timeout with, like, 50 seconds left,
right,
then there would have been way more time and plenty of timeouts, yep, to be able to get closer to win the game.
Let's take a break. On the other side, I want to tell you guys some pretty big NFL injury updates. And also, we got to tell the story of how one NFL legend may be one of the worst people of all time. We'll do that next. This is ENN on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Happy birthday, Nas.
How old? Let me guess. 34.
What?
I don't know. I don't know who he is. I've heard the name.
What, you're aware that his debut album, regarded by many as the greatest rap album of all time, came out in April 94.
I wouldn't know that. As you said,
I'm helping you out.
No, I don't know.
But if April 94 was his debut album, then...
That would be very difficult for him to be 34. I agree. I don't know the man. I've heard the name.
His birthday is tomorrow, and he will be 48 years old. So he'll be 49 tomorrow.
Okay, well, happy birthday.
You really should partake in some Nas.
I don't know. I think I'm good.
I mean, that's really – it's honestly saying you're good on Nas is borderline the equivalent of, like, I'm good on the Rolling Stones. Or, like, you know, the Who.
No, not if, but I wouldn't say that to somebody who's not a rock fan.
Yeah, but if you said to someone
you're
who's
a
not
rock
a huge...
fan, I'm not necessarily a rap. I mean, my knowledge of rap is like all the old school late 80s, early 90s stuff, like Ice-T, Ice Cube, Wu-Tang.
I mean, that's borderline this era. I mean, he came out in 90. He debuted in 92.
But I couldn't. Really give you much information on Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or whatever he's going by at this point.
Yeah, Love. He's going for Love now.
Yes, but I know he exists.
All right, let's get to a few things here.
Do it.
Some updates. Dak Prescott will not go on the IR, according to Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan. He did undergo surgery on Monday. Has a great chance, according to Jerry, of returning within four games.
Well, that's different than what was originally prognosticated.
Yeah, they were saying 6 to 8. I have to imagine, Don, there is a lot of pressure on Dak and that medical staff to get him back and not throw away the season. I don't think Cooper Rush is taking you to a championship. All due respect. I think that's about due respect. I'm praying I get Cooper Rush week four. Totally changes your outlook.
Well, listen,
team.
I mean, that's why Giant fans are excited, right? You got a winnable game against Carolina, although I'm going to pump my brakes on anything necessarily being winnable for the Giants. And then you've got the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, no Dak, and then Chicago. Like, so we were talking they've got to go 2-2. Well, after a win against Tennessee and now possibly playing Dallas without Dak, you know, I think Giant fans are thinking 3-1, but I saw the first half of the Giant game, so I know what they're
aware
capable
of, what's
of doing.
So, good news for Steelers fans. Shouts to Danny on Long Island. T.J. Watt's injury outlook is better than they expected after the game. He ruled him out on Sunday against the Patriots, but beyond that, did not have an answer. And speaking of those Steelers, Najee Harris will play on Sunday. So, if you were a Steelers fan on Sunday, Don, you were miserable. It looks like things will be okay there. Of course, they ended up managing to pull out that.
Well, that's big.
That victory on Sunday against Cincinnati. Keenan Allen of the Chargers likely out against the Chiefs for you fantasy fans. And lastly, Tom Brady's marriage to Giselle is said to be, quote, very rocky over his decision to unretire. But she gave an interview to Elle magazine and said a lot of interesting things, including, I've done my part, which is to be there for Tom. I moved to Boston, and I focused on creating a cocoon and a loving environment for my children to grow up in and be there supporting him and his dreams. She also went on to say, though, everyone has to do what's right for them. So things remain a bit murky in the Brady household. Yeah,
I don't know when you're married with children, Peter, and just married. You know, you're not making a lot of decisions that are just oh, it's right for me. All right, well, you're married. You got a family. You got to do what's right for everyone.
She just said, that's obviously, the way it works. I have my concerns. It's a very violent sport. I have my children. I would like him to be more present. I've definitely had those conversations with him over and over again. But ultimately, I feel that everybody has to make a decision that works for them. He needs to follow his joy, too.
I know. Listen, I can't get inside his head.
He gone.
You got 7 Super Bowl championships. You're a walking Hall of Fame bust. Did you need to go one more year if it means issues at home? Yeah, like I said, we're all part of you're going to be, you know, part of a family. Although once you're engaged, you're it's happening, right? But you know, you have a family. There's not a lot of things you do. Well, I got to do this. Does one more year of football, Peter? Oh, I wouldn't put my marriage in jeopardy for it. Now, yeah. Having a career, doing something like really earth-shattering, let's say he had never won a Super Bowl and this team looks like it's ready to win, there's a sliding scale. But
none of those are what the situation is, though.
Yeah, and this situation looks, is it wrong to say kind of gratuitous to play one more season?
No, that's fair, and that will do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening. Your phone calls next at 1-800-919-3776, plus the great Dan Grasso right here on 98.7. Thank you, Don, ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.